get to know the faith and those who live it. I'm your host, Renee Kranz. Today on the show, we will have Lois Herron in the studio with me. She is one of our writers for the Bishop's Bulletin. You've probably seen her on some of the Catholic Living videos that we do. She's here to talk about how to teach your kids to pray, how to teach them to be good human beings, and about virtue. We're going to have a couple episodes with Lois. So this is the first one. She is just such a wealth of knowledge and experience with raising kids. So I hope you will join us for that. Speaking of experience with raising kids, we have Dr. Chris Bergwald over
here.
Well,
see, I think Lois and her husband, Jeff, are empty nesters, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
We're not quite. We're like over halfway there.
Yes.
Three out of the five are out.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got quite a little experience.
Yeah, so. There's some experience, yeah. Or at least some of the journey. So. What's today, Renee?
I believe it's the fourth Sunday of Ordinary Time. It's probably some day that I'm not thinking of.
Casey's back behind the scenes.
Casey, what is it?
But not on mic, but it's okay. Casey, do you know what today is?
What I missed.
Is she right? Is she right? She could be right.
Sort of. Candlemas is what I was thinking.
Ah. AKA. You know what Candlemas is, right?
I do, but I can't think of what the other name
it's
is.
It's the presentation of the
Lord. Yeah, there.
So this is, this is like, we'll be celebrating the fourth week of Ordinary Time. Okay. So you were...
I'm half right.
You're half right, but because February 2nd, happens to, when it falls on a Sunday, instead of celebrating, reading the readings and praying the prayers that are proper to the fourth Sunday of Ordinary Time, mm-hmm. we read the readings and pray the prayers that are proper to the presentation of the... That's a lot of P's.
That's a lot of P's.
To the presentation of the Lord.
Okay.
So...
Because it's not otherwise a holy day of obligation or anything. It's just
correct.
a feast day.
It's a feast day. It's not a solemnity. Okay. Not a solemnity that's obligatory, okay. But it is a feast day. So remind me, because I've just, you know, my mind's gone blank, Renee. What is the presentation of the Lord all about?
It is where Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord. It was actually the theme of Christmas at the cathedral this year.
It was indeed. Yes. So Christmas at the cathedral, but like that's like
I know.
Weeks ago. I know. What's going on?
Know. It's kind of part of it, isn't
Why
it?
Why are we celebrating it now in the middle of, well, at the beginning of, you
well,
know, well into, weeks into ordinary
it
time.
How many days is it? 40 days after the birth?
What's 40 days after the birth?
When they present him to the temple.
Yes. According to Jewish liturgical ritual law, mm-hmm. 40 days after it was proper to bring, at least the male child, I think the firstborn male child, I think, is going back to Leviticus, I think, you would bring that child to the temple mm-hmm. to have it blessed. Consecrated, if you will, to the Lord. So
sort of like baptism in a way, just not the same sacrament.
Yeah, correct. Right. Yeah. They didn't have the sacraments obviously
kind of
yet, but
an idea like that.
Yep. So on the 2nd of February, 40 days after December 25th, the birth of Jesus, mm-hmm. we celebrate this. So it's been described as sort of a Christmas feast outside of Christmas.
Okay.
Christmas season is over. This is the traditional end in the old calendar to what was called the Christmas cycle. Different from the Christmas season, but that gets all really confusing. I won't go into much detail.
Very confusing.
But some people will leave their Christmas trees up until February 2nd.
Oh, wow.
Because for so that sort of like back in the day. We didn't celebrate Christmas all the way to February 2nd, but there's kind of a liturgical justification for doing that.
I could see doing that if you didn't put your Christmas tree up until like Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Now, if it's a real tree, good luck getting it last till February 2nd. But, you know, it's going to be a Charlie Brown tree probably. But it's also, as Casey said, it's called Candlemas as well. Uh-huh. Any idea why?
We have candles?
So, We do, but we always have candles, Renee.
I've read about this, but I do not recall.
So part of what we read about in the gospel, the presentation, Simeon and Anna mm-hmm. are the two figures besides the Holy Family. Mm-hmm. And Simeon is this man who's been waiting for the Messiah. He had, the Holy Spirit had sort of hinted, told him, whispered to him, however, that he would not die before he saw the Messiah.
Right.
So we read in Luke's gospel, and we'll hear it in the gospel today, Luke chapter 2, about how Simeon rejoices and he takes the child into his arms and he speaks about how this will be a light to the Gentiles. This child will be a light to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Mm-hmm. A light to the Gentiles.
All the Jews are like, woo!
No. But that's, so Candlemas, because
oh,
this...
Yeah.
That I was kind of, sure. I said a light to the Gentiles like three times when they tried to get you to get the hint,
slow
but
today.
There we go. So that's why it's Candlemas. So your parish may not have celebrated, but there's processions that can begin, candlelit processions that can begin this feast. It really is a great time to sort of look back, but then I'll look forward because Lent is coming and Jesus will be the light.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Thanks, Dr. B.
You bet.
In studio with me today, I have Lois Heron. Welcome, Lois.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes. So Lois, many of you may have seen Lois on some of our Catholic Living videos. Mm-hmm. You may have read some of Lois's work in the Bishop's Bulletin and in the Against the Current newsletter. Lois does all kinds of stuff for us. And it's wonderful because she does a beautiful job. She just loves doing it. And she has the time because she's a retired teacher.
Yeah.
So we love having her do this stuff for us. Thank you so much
Thank
for doing
you.
It.
It's a privilege.
Yeah. So Lois, today we wanted you to come in to talk about, first to kind of talk a little bit about your column that you write in the Bishop's Bulletin, because that's actually what we're going to connect to that. We're going to talk about using scripture to raise good families.
Yeah.
Because so often we're like, well, I don't even know how to bring my faith into my family. Mm. You can actually use scripture to raise your kids.
It's the perfect manual.
Yeah. So we're going to find out how and why and how this all works. So
okay.
Lois, will you first just start, tell us a bit about yourself for those who don't know who you are.
Okay. I'm Lois Heron. I attend the cathedral, members of the cathedral. I'm a convert. Mm-hmm. But as far as something about myself that I really try to be is a praying woman. Mm-hmm. It's a passion of mine, and it's a gift, and I try to be that for my family and my community.
Yeah.
It's just intercession and prayer and enjoyment with the lover of my soul.
Yeah. In fact, the piece you do for the email newsletter is all about praying for our diocese
yes,
and our priests.
Right.
So we love that. If you haven't read it, it's the, what is it called again?
Strengthen Our Shepherds.
Yes,
on
sorry,
Saturday.
I left my mind for a second.
Yeah.
That's in the Saturday newsletter, and it's actually very popular. It usually gets either the most or the second most clicks, which is great.
Well, that's the pulse of where people are at.
Yeah.
We need that.
Yes.
We know we need it.
Yeah. We need to pray for our priests. Well, and for each
and
other.
And for ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So, as I said at the beginning, parents often struggle with how to teach their children the faith, virtue, how to be, as you say, good humans.
Yeah,
good humans. So can you tell us, like, how do you use scripture to do this? Wherever you want to start. I don't know where you want to start, but where do you want to start?
Well, in regards to that column, mm-hmm. but actually it's part of my life, too, so it's just kind of natural to do it.
Mm-hmm.
When we first began it, I was trying to think of when we had, but I know I led off with the Shema, which is kind of like the manifesto for a godly life.
Yeah.
You know, God gave these words to Moses, and at the time in history, they were getting ready to just embrace their identity as the chosen people of God and the promised land and all the struggle they had had to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so God lays it down. This is how you're going to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'm going to bless you.
Yeah.
And he's very specific. And he's very forthright about the role of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want me to read that or do we have time?
Or
I can just refer to points of it.
However you want to do it.
I will say.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 6.
Yes.
You can read the whole chapter, but 1 through 9 is the bulk of, there's the specific Shema that Jewish people refer to, but the bulk of that, those verses are basically what you see in some form in the articles in the family column.
So that's not very long then, right?
No.
If you want to read that, that'd be great. I think if you've watched The Chosen, I believe they actually use this several times in the series, don't they?
Yes, because it's the foundation for the Israelite nation, the Jews.
Right.
Like John 3:16 to us, the Shema can just roll off their tongue.
Right.
And we've made a practice of memorizing that and praying that too.
Okay.
Can't memorize.
Yes.
Can't
recite
right here.
Okay.
So God is saying through Moses, now this is the commandment, that word. The statutes and the ordinances which the Lord your God command me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. That's the promised land. Mm-hmm. We have promised lands. That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, including daughters. Just wasn't a thing then. Mm-hmm. By keeping all the statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. And that this is the Shema.
Okay.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Okay.
So, first of all, the Lord gives his commandment. And it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. You can give suggestions on social media, but there's no guarantee of the outcome there.
Right.
A commandment has a guaranteed outcome.
Okay.
If we obey.
Right.
And if we tend to it. And I'm not just talking the Ten Commandments.
Right.
It's
right.
The law of God throughout the Holy Scriptures.
Right.
So that's the very first thing. So everything points back to that mm-hmm. this is what we have been given. Not as a rule to make us miserable, but as a rule, and it says there, to give us a blessed life,
right.
to prolong, give us success in the land, in our families, in our lives.
Right.
So it's just so important.
Right.
And then the next one is, oh boy, the whole idea of, sorry, I missed my notes here.
That's okay.
Observe or hear.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's the whole idea that we are to be circumspect about our lives, and we are to teach that to our children. And that's something we just don't do.
Can you expand on that? Because when you use the word circumspect, I want to make sure people know what you mean
okay.
by that.
Well, here's where the virtues are.
Yes.
Prudence, wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, the prudence, the discretion, the discernment. All of that is circumspect. So when you are in a situation with your family, whatever, you're not just thinking about, ooh, how are people perceiving me? Or, oh, it's all about me. You're being circumspect. We are in God's presence. So how do we enter into it more fully? How do I treat these people mm-hmm. as beloved of God?
Right.
So it's not about us.
Right.
That's how I take circumspect.
Okay. Okay.
And then you're very thoughtful and purposeful about your decisions you
right.
make.
Right.
And gosh, I think people need to be more purposeful.
Yeah.
Even in parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can parent by accident, but we need to parent on purpose.
There's a lot of parenting
There's
by accident.
There's a lot more success there. Oh, I hear yeah. stuff in the grocery stores sometimes. It's like, parenting by accident.
Darn it. Well, you know, this is really interesting to me because so Father Zach Schaefer in his homily last weekend.
I listened to him this morning.
Yeah, talked about the way we love God is by doing the good. And that's really what you're talking about here is living and teaching your children how to do good through the virtues.
Right.
And that's how you love God and therefore love your family.
And yourself.
And yourself.
Yeah.
Which is also important.
Jesus, others, and you. It's all it's the whole of your life.
Yeah.
And when we read the scriptures and when we follow the commands, and we tend to them knowing that this is our source, the Lord our God is one God, we love him with all our heart, mind, and soul, strength, then in ways we can't understand us, and we can't qualify it, we can't quantify it, but when you know, you know.
Right.
Right. And we can experience that as parents too.
Yeah.
Sure. We make mistakes.
Yeah.
But it's the long haul that we look at.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So a lot of people might say, well, but I can just teach him how to be a good person without scriptures
you could.
So on. So how do we know this works, this kind of method works?
Well, other than God says it will.
Proof. And he does tell us the
proof
truth.
In the pudding.
Yeah.
Look at history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look around you. Some of us may even be raised in homes where we saw the negative side of that, or we saw the very positive side of that. Mm-hmm. Parenting isn't a science.
Right.
It's a relationship with the Lord. We companion with him for the benefit of our children and this holy family that he wants to make us, which he came to us through in Jesus Christ. That's how it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, you just enter into it. You can't just open a book and follow steps.
Right.
You open a book and you eat it, as the psalmist says,
Or
Ezekiel says, eat this book, consume it. And from that, it nourishes our soul, transforms our mind, and transforms our attitudes and actions.
Right.
Hands down, 100% if.
Yes. Okay. So I'm gonna ask you if you use this method with your own children, but I'm going to wait.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that towards the end.
Yeah.
So there are some key principles. In scripture that you draw from, especially in the family prayer column. So if you're looking through the Bishop's Bulletin and you haven't seen this yet, it's called Family Prayer. We've been doing it about 2 years.
Seems like.
So each month, Lois writes a really beautiful piece just helping families, parents, deal with helping their children be good children, grow up to be good, godly children.
Yeah.
And I don't have any children. But I have found it very helpful because, of course, I read it, edit it, and proofread it, and so on. And it's like, oh, my gosh, this is just great stuff.
I know. I'm writing it for myself, too, when I'm writing it.
So. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have to watch the video because Lois is quite humorous to watch sometimes. So, Lois, will you tell us, what are some of the key principles in Scripture that you draw from?
Well, back to
love
the Lord your God
with
all your mind, whole, and strength. And then you break it down just like God did through Moses.
Yes.
So you keep God's word
in
your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That word keep, I wish I could flesh it out, but I can't
right
now.
Right.
Too much time.
Yep.
Recite and talk about your God-given identity everywhere and all the time. So it becomes so natural to you to refer to the Lord in your own thinking, in your own speaking, and in your home, we'll narrow it down to the home, in the home, that our children are so familiar and very aware that the Lord is the source of our family.
Right.
He is the foundation. He is our companion, so much more than companion, of course, Savior.
Yeah. Can you give us an example of how you might do that?
Well, prayer, of course, drawing our children into prayer. And it's great to read prayers, but the spontaneous, well, just for instance, I'll just give you a few.
Yeah.
On the way to, if you're dropping your kids off at school, Lord, I'm so glad that we have this warm van to drive to school in.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And thanks that the day ahead for the kids is going to be blessed by you and you're going to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Help them to be pleasing to you and loving toward others.
Yeah.
Always entering in. When a helicopter flies over. Now that we live right where in the path of the Sanford one, And so my immediate, when I hear helicopters, I...
Mm-hmm. You sign of the cross.
I sign of the cross, and I say a certain prayer, which I can't remember right now.
That's why
I say it so often. But
pray for that person.
Yeah, and I pray for those people. Now, I did that with our kids younger, but then I've done it with my grandkids, and I've made a point of pray for the doctors and nurses and everyone that's attending. Let's pray for them. Pray for that person. Pray for safety. Very natural, mm-hmm. very natural. And now, I'm with my grandchildren, and the helicopter goes over, and they look at me like,
"What's
you gonna do it?
Come on, Grandma."
Yeah. So we're training our children in vertical living.
Right.
Boy, oh, if yeah. I could just park there for a long time, I would.
Yeah.
We train them, and so it's, and that keeps us on our toes spiritually.
Yeah.
Because our children are going to marry others, if they choose to marry, they will look for relationships like the relationship they grow up with.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, goodness sakes. Parents, what do you say about your wife or husband in front of your kids? How mm-hmm. do you treat? You know, it's all of that. And all of what I'm saying is right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just got to take God out of Mass on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Take him with us because he is already there.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything in our lives, every little thing can be ordered by him
mm-hmm.
if we have a mind for it, if we desire.
Yeah. I think way too often we're just going about our life and we're not really thinking about God at
I
all.
I know.
And at all.
We need to get to the place where that's all we think of, because when we are so focused on the Lord, it's not like we're pious and, you know.
Right.
We are so focused on the Lord that anything that comes into our lives, parenting, business associates, whatever, is with the Lord right here.
Mm-hmm.
So he's transforming us. We're learning to relate to others as if they are ourselves, mm-hmm. and we relate to others
mm-hmm.
because that's Jesus looking back at us.
Right.
And we'll be held accountable.
Yeah.
The bitterness that we have, the gossiping. Well, we want our kids to remember that too and know that. So we don't want to gossip in front of our kids.
Right. Yes.
And some, you know, make a habit of that. Shame on you.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because they're going to grow up and think badly of people and do the same. It's all, I know I'm getting off.
Oh, you're.
But it's just so detailed mm-hmm. of how if we examine the examined life,
mm-hmm.
If we examine all that we do with our children with the Lord in mind, we'll make the changes.
Yeah.
And he is just waiting for us to ask.
Yes.
All we have to do is ask.
Absolutely. What other key principles? Any others that are on there?
There are, but I've gotten off.
That's okay.
So much.
We have about 3-4 minutes left.
Oh, gosh. So bind your actions and fix your mind to godly principles and the practice of virtue, which mm-hmm. really comes out in the articles.
Yes.
Because especially with the virtues, that has been very well received, and we could just park there forever.
Mm-hmm.
We become purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
That we want them, if we set out in parenting and decide, okay, my children are going to be virtuous,
mm-hmm.
then what am I going to do? I'm going to do everything to help my children be virtuous.
Right.
So we're very purposeful. We bind them on our hands, the actions we do with our family, and any action we would do with our family, we can teach a virtue.
Yep. Yep.
Play a game with your kids, and you have plenty of opportunities to
totally
teach.
Totally true. Yes. Yes, you really
to
do.
Teach children. So it turns lots of stuff. I could keep talking about that, or I could get to the bottom line of it all, and that's why we call it the praying family prayer.
Let's do that.
Prayer is breathing in God and us breathing back to Him. You know, at creation,
mm-hmm.
God blew or Ruha, His spirit into man. And then as we live, we breathe him in and we breathe our spirit back to him. And that's how transformation
happens,
takes place.
Yeah.
As we go.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Now, you had asked, because I'm seeing the time there.
Yes.
And I could talk a lot more about prayer, and I think we're going to at some point.
Yes, but, we will.
You had asked about...
My own kids.
My own kids. So here's... You had asked this, and I do need to look at my answer. Oh, you asked about how do we know it works? Yes. And did this method... Did you use your this method on your children?
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did. However, I learned as I went, as my husband did too.
Yeah.
We learn as we go and we fail. Mm-hmm. We're never going to be perfect parents.
Right.
And we're always learning. So that's what we are doing when we are parenting. We're learning, we're adapting, we're adjusting, we're realigning ourselves all into God's desire for us and for our family. Now, the benefit I have, I'm 65 and the kids are growing and grandkids. I can look back and see the fruit of that labor.
Yep.
And I can also see the damage of my mistakes.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I can do that. And so I'd like to say I see more fruit, and I do.
Right.
But again, we kept trying.
Yeah.
We kept trying because our goal was to raise godly parents. That was godly. Well, godly parents.
Godly parents.
They're
too,
godly parents now. And our role never ends. We're still aligning and realigning parenting adult children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is why we actually really wanted you to write the column, because you have lots of experience over a lifetime of raising children, still raising children.
Yeah.
Grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So we're out of time. But what I want to do, Lois, and this was, she and I kind of talked about this before, we want to have her back. Maybe more than once, but we'll bring her back and talk about some of these things in more depth and some other things, because Lois just has a like deep well of awesome things to talk about with us.
Really?
Yes, you have great stuff.
I am zealous.
Well, you know what? We need a lot of that right now. So Lois, thank you so much for spending a little time with us. That went super fast.
It did.
And we will have you back, and we'll talk more about these things.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Again, if you want to read what Lois, some of the things that she's talking about, go back and look at the prior issues of the Bishop's Bulletin, Family Prayer. About the last 2 years, she's been writing that each month. So take a look at those. That's it for us today. Hope you'll join us again next week for more Catholic News.